Thanks, Vince. Just to remind you that all the slides and presentations will be on the ICAO Colloquium website after the event. Now I'd like to invite Alan to come up.
Thanks, Vince. We're playing musical chairs. Thank you. It's really nice to be here as an independent expert because it means I can more or less say whatever I want within the bounds of decency. And if anybody's ever thinking about becoming an independent expert, if they are eligible, I would recommend it just for that very single benefit. So about in 2008, just before Christmas, a group of unfortunate people were sandbagged by Jane Hooper, locked in a dark room and told you must come up with an operational goal and you've got 10 weeks to do it. And you're not coming out of that room until you do it. So the very first thing we did, because we're ATM people, is come up with an acronym, because we thought the world could really do with another acronym, which is the IEOGG, which you can see up there. Personally, I think it sounds like something a cowboy would yell as they're riding through the wilderness. There you go. So in this group, these were the domains that were represented by the people, but the people left their badges, their corporate badges, outside the door. I'd like to just talk a little bit about independence of these experts. The only way to guarantee true independence is to hire maybe a florist and a grave digger and somebody who prepares fish and people like that to come up with operational goals. You can guarantee that the output from that group would be truly independent, but you probably couldn't make a lot of use of it. As soon as you move away from that into people with any expertise in this domain, they will have a kind of lack of independence. But in my opinion, that's absolutely unimportant. Providing there is no commercial interest in the outcome of this group, and you can ensure that very simply, then because you have so many different polarized views, any consensus that comes out from this group is going to be reasonably independent. In other words, everybody in the group's probably equally unhappy with the outcome, but they compromise. And this is about compromise and trust. And that's essentially how we worked. And I was very proud to work with one of the greatest teams I've ever worked with under extreme pressure to deliver this in a very short length of time. We had a whole series of global information inputs from a series of documents, some of which were released even before they were officially published, just because they were in final draft form. And I would like to draw particular attention to the CANSO Global Goals document, because that essentially had tried to do what we were about to do on a global level with independent experts under the ICAO umbrella, and therefore we felt that because it was really good prior art, we should actually use that as the basis for the way that we approach this. So you can see the tight timescale there. We met on the 5th and 6th of December. That was after 5 months of recruitment process. And we were asked to produce the output by February, the end of February in the following year. So Christmas holidays were off the agenda. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat. So we made a decision. We said that in actual fact, we don't think we can do a bottom-up approach. In other words, we don't think that we can assess each individual ATM benefit, each individual ATM improvement, and add those up and trying to find out what that total was. And believe it or not, that total just simply does not exist, and we didn't have the time to do that. And in actual fact, it would have been the wrong thing to do, because merely to account for what's already in the plan will not produce a challenging environmental goal. It'll just do a simple accountancy job that says, when you add this up, this is the result. And I don't think that adds any value. So we decided to do a top-down approach to identify all of the inefficiencies that we could within the ATM system, to come up with an expert judgment on what that might be, and then to take out from that anything that we thought we probably couldn't deal with, like volcanoes, noise routes and things like this. So there's always going to be a little bit of inefficiency in the system, but to try and come up with a lofty, challenging environmental goal based on that kind of a discussion. One of the first things we did was to look at all of the different components that go to make a fuel-efficient ATM system. And we identified that there were lots of goals going on in the technology side, on airframes and engines, but there were a couple of grey areas in the middle. So, for example, fuel type, although there was quite a bit of research and discussion under the IQ umbrella, there was no body that was looking at a goal under the fuel type kind of possibilities. And certainly things like operational commercial decisions made by the airlines on how many business class seats they would have, how many people they would get, what kind of load factors they would operate, cost index and all of that, we felt that that was something that we should completely leave outside of our scope because it's nothing to do with ATM. But again, we recognised that nobody was really looking into that. So we focused on ATM as the operational area that we would look at. And, sorry, 1 minute. 1 minute?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
I've only had seven.
Okay. Okay. You've thrown me now. Okay, so we came up with a concept. One of the really important things you'll find that when you look at operational efficiency improvement opportunities, they are in actual fact quite small if you look at the current base case paradigm. What you've got to understand is that unlike technology goals, where growth stimulates the adoption of new technologies and therefore actually makes the per flight efficiency improve, within ATM, growth actually works in exactly the opposite direction. And if we do nothing, the system will go into meltdown, efficiency will fall through the floor. So in actual fact, an apparently small improvement will produce an actually large benefit later on. And if it goes into true meltdown, all of this stuff converts into other performance problems like capacity, etc., which are worth a lot more money. So this is the outcome. I won't go any further than this slide. You can see that we felt that the current base level efficiency, which is in the first column under the 2006 heading there, was in the order of about 90% globally. And perhaps by 2026, we would come up with a global figure of ATM efficiency of about 95. We didn't produce an efficiency improvement in terms of 5% improvement because the base level is uncertain. So we felt if we nailed an actual figure of 95% operational fuel efficiency, then it doesn't really matter how much more information went into that paradigm. That figure is fixed and it's a goal that can stand the test of time. And that was it. Thank you.